Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And Dawn Jackson Blattner is the dietitian, nutritionist, game show competitor, winner, and author of The Flexitarian Diet and The Superfood Swap, who joins us most Thursdays at this time. It's Thursday at this time, and there's Dawn Jackson Blattner. Hi, Dawn.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. I've been eagerly awaiting this time. It's my favorite time of the week. Love it.
Well, I've not been eagerly awaiting this. Do you want to know why?
Tell me.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I'm probably going to have a couple of bratwursts this weekend.
Yeah. What's going on this weekend? Sounds fun.
Well, it's this Oktoberfest. I'm pouring the beer. They're going to have brats, and I just can't imagine I'm not going to have one of those in my hand with some mustard on it.
Yep, I think that's right. And, you know, here's what I will say. I'm not just Sally Sunshine positivity, you know, oh, you can eat whatever you want, you know, blah, blah, blah. But really, if you really are eating fruits and vegetables and whole grains and nuts and seeds and your beans and you're trying your best, there really is room for favorite foods like bratwurst, and you can still really be healthy. Like, that's, I think that's the coolest part of nutrition. When you do it right, it's a pattern, not perfection, that you're looking for.
Is that what you mean by flexitarian?
Ah, you know, my dear sweet flexitarian diet, I just enjoy it. So it's two words, flexible plus vegetarian. And so it's really for somebody who wants to eat more plant-based but not be so rigid. So yes, in that same vein of like, hey, listen, you can eat healthy foods a lot, but you don't have to do it all the time to stay healthy and have healthy blood work and great triglycerides and waist circumference and HDL, good cholesterol. You can still fit those foods in. So, hey, I'm all about it, and just round it out, you know, with a little fruits and vegetables and things before you go. Maybe the next day, double down on some citrus, you know, round it out.
Oh, really? Citrus necessarily? Was that just a coincidence you said that, or is there something
to
citrus?
Well, yeah, you know what? No, you know what? Here's the thing. Citrus right now is like apples, oranges, everything. I've got them on my mind. Pears, all like the sort of fall, winter fruits. So, yes, it could be anything. It doesn't have to just be citrus, but I have them on my mind.
Well, you know what I've been eating lately are these Asian pears, these apple pears, pear apples that they sell at Whole Foods. And they're almost like small grapefruit. They're rounder than a pear. They're bigger than an apple. They have sort of a pear-apple coloration. That's the best damn piece of fruit I've had in a very long time.
They are delicious. And here's the thing. This is why you get honorary dietitian status, because anyone who is going to be that enthusiastic about a piece of fruit is my kind of guy. Like, I love that. Yes, and I think that's one of the things when you're going to the store, if you do see something new like that, and you're like, oh, I've never tried it, you know, buy one. And a lot of times you are so surprised at how delicious it is. So, yeah, I love those Asian pears, too.
Well, is it a pear, or is it an apple, or is it a true hybrid of the two?
It is a hybrid. It is a hybrid. And, you know, some of these things, people are like, oh, my gosh, you know, hybrid, what is that? naturally, fruit can be hybrid naturally. So there is not, you know, any hocus pocus going on. It's, you know, a natural way to get the best of both fruits.
Yeah, I think that the flavor, the crispness of it, it's, I want one right now. You have been looking at some research about brain health and diet. What's the connection there, Dawn?
Okay, yeah. I mean, listen, who isn't interested in this? You know, I need help with memory. I need help with mood. I need help with learning and retaining what I learn. I want to prevent things like, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia. Like, brain health is a big deal. And I heard this great quote, which I absolutely love, is like, whatever is great for your heart health is also great for your brain. And I was like, yeah, that's really cool. So I've just been reading more and more about particularly brain health. And I saw this study, came out earlier this year, so interesting. So here's what happened. They looked at participants in this study, and they put them into four groups of what they were eating. And they said, I wonder what of these four groups is the best for brain health. So here's the four groups. They had people on like a low carb diet. they had people on a vegetarian plant-based diet. They had people on a high-protein, kind of low-fiber diet. And they had people on a balanced diet. So a lot of times, you know, you would say, oh, gosh, you know, I wonder if those low-carb people are going to win. Or like, oh, geez, plant-based always seems to win everything, you know. It's like, oh, but I've heard so much about high-protein. Maybe I should be eating that way. So this really was an interesting comparison. So when it all shook out of these four styles or patterns of eating, the winner for the best brain health was, drumroll, balanced diet. I was actually shocked about this myself, is the idea of really making sure your plates have whole grains on them and a protein source and they're balanced and you're not taking out any food groups is really the hypothesis of these researchers. They said, listen, you have so much variety on your plate. You have so much variety in your pattern of eating. It's very protective of brain health. And so then, you know, I was like, oh, my God, this is so exciting. And then I decided to look at, you know, if people ask me and they say, okay, listen, I love that news, balanced diet, but listen, isn't there like specific foods that I really could eat that would be extra special for my brain? And there really are certain foods. I have a list of 10 that could be great, especially for your brain, in addition to a balanced diet. So the first one is fatty fish. I think we hear about this all the time. Fatty fish is like salmon and tuna, but it's also those little guys like anchovies and sardines. I've been trying to open a can of sardines. Oh, I'm really working on this, liking sardines. Open a can of sardines, and I've been eating it on cucumber slices. What do you think about that, John?
I think that sounds horrible.
I think
that sounds horrible, and I will never do that.
I don't know. I've tried it twice already, and I'm kind of liking it. It's like cool and crisp. Anyway, a fatty fish, whether it's any of those I mentioned, really important for protecting the cells of our brain. Another thing that you know I'm going to say, and everybody's going to bank on this, is beans and lentils. These are absolute powerhouses when it comes to brain health because they have plant protein, but they also have a lot of plant compounds in there to protect our brain. So we got those. Kefir is on the list of best brain foods.
Oh, yeah.
Kefir is like a cousin of yogurt, yeah? And it's a drinkable yogurt, but it has even more of those healthy probiotics in it than even yogurt. And so I think that's really a fun one because gut health is linked to brain health. Walnuts is on the list of the 10. And you know this is right because walnuts look like little brains. You know they look like a little brain. So come on, you know, it's on that. Here, everyone loves me when I say this. Dark chocolate is actually on the list of the 10 top brain foods, and that's because they have cocoa flavanols in there and really good for the brain. Eggs is on the list. They contain something called choline, which is great for your brain. Berries, of course, I mean, definitely a great all-around health food, but brain in particular. Then we have leafy greens. You know, you can't be a dietitian and go on the radio and not talk about leafy greens. So leafy greens, that's like spinach and arugula and kale. Watercress is on that list, too, of leafy greens. So good for you. And then we've got two beverages to round out this list. Water, very much an underrated superfood, actually, for brain health. Well-hydrated tissues function better, and that is even true of the brain. And the final one, which I'm actually working on myself, is green tea. EGCG is a compound in green tea that is very protective, particularly of the brain and heart. And so having, I'm even working on just one cup of green tea a day, but having 2, 3, even up to 4 cups of green tea a day could be very protective for the brain.
Wow.
So that's, I think those are all delicious foods and things we could, you know, make more of an effort to put into our balanced diet.
John Williams, please tell Dawn I've been doing everything, capital letters, she said to do to lower my cholesterol. I started in mid-April. My last blood test showed my cholesterol was 276. I had blood work done last Friday, and now it's 223 in only 5 months. She's the best. I'm sticking with her. I love your show, and I love Dawn, says one of our listeners.
Oh, my gosh, that is so incredible. And that should be sort of this inspiration for all of us. Learn your numbers. Know what your blood test is. Like, what is your cholesterol? And then, really, these things like adding fiber, adding fish, adding fitness, the F's of good cholesterol really work. I mean, and that's great inspiration. We all need hope that, you know, all this stuff ends up actually panning out. So I think that's a great hope story of nutrition works.
Yeah, isn't that the good way to put it? Nutrition works. Put that on your website too, Dawn. I'm always giving you great tips for how to position or promote yourself, but nutrition works and doesn't have to be painful. It's 11:45. John, please ask Dawn if monk fruit is safe to consume with erythritol. And John, ask Dawn about pork. Is it a red meat or a white meat? And why this person cares, all coming up. This segment is sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, the original healthy meal company. If you've got a question, 312-981-7200. Dawn Jackson-Blattner's on a phone line. Dawn, can I read you a couple of questions from our listeners?
Would love it.
John, please ask Dawn if monk fruit with erythritol or something like that is safe to consume. What are they talking about here, Dawn?
Okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to just start by saying everybody wants to chase the perfect sugar substitute. These are sugar substitutes, monk fruit and erythritol. And so there really is no such thing as a perfect sugar substitute. Even erythritol for the past couple of years has a little controversy, as perhaps if you use too much of it, that it may make your blood too sticky and lead to cardiovascular events or heart problems. So the deal is that a dab will do you. I mean, I know I say that with whether it's sugar or honey or maple syrup, erythritol or monk fruit or stevia, all of these things are still to be used in moderation. So it's not like a free pass just because it has no sugar that you can use a lot of it. So in moderation, fine thing, but don't use it everywhere in every recipe and think you're doing something great.
Is monk fruit a fruit? What is that? What's monk fruit?
Yeah, so monk fruit is an alternative sweetener. It's actually, I actually like the taste of it even more than stevia. They're oftentimes used interchangeably, like monk fruit or stevia, in coffees or in baked goods, things like that. It's got a great flavor, but it is a fruit, and it's an extract of a fruit that is about 200 times sweeter than sugar. That's why it has really no calories.
Well, does it come as a powder?
It can come in multiple forms. So this particular listener is probably using it as a powder form, where it's monk fruit powder with erythritol powder. But like I have it in my house in a liquid form, where you could put a couple of drops in, you know, like your green tea if you're trying to drink it and want a little bit sweet. But again, you know, all of these sweeteners, not one of them is to like free pass to use it in everything.
Mm. Well, every now and then I don't know if I have a sweet tooth per se, but the other night I was wanting something sweet and I'm kind of rooting around the kitchen. We had some 4 days past their expiration pineapple cubes in our refrigerator, and I thought, I'll give these a shot. So I was eating those and they were pretty good. And it was funny that past the due date, it seemed fine to me. I think it was okay to eat, but it was really sweet and delicious. Is that satisfying your craving for sweet better than eating something with sugar, or is that sugar in the pineapple? You're still eating something sugary.
The pineapple is so much better than if you were going to bake yourself a sweet treat. And the reason why is that sugar that is naturally found in fruit is encapsulated in like a matrix of nutrition. So there's vitamin C and there's fiber and there's potassium and there's all sorts of things that are hooking to that sugar. So you're not just getting empty sugar calories, you're getting it in this matrix of nutrition. So real fruit that has natural sugar is great. The only thing I would say is when you are looking at fruit that's like in little cups, just make sure you're getting ones that are like either packed in its own juice or packed in water so that it has not a sugary syrup in it. So you're looking for on the label, no added sugar in that line item that says, you know, added sugar on there. The other thing that I have made that is a fruit-based dessert, sort of piggybacking off what you just said, I love caramel apples in the fall. Like, let's just point out, they're delicious, they're fun, they're fabulous. So what I did is I made sort of a lazy, natural, no sugar added, no drama caramel apple, where I chop up apple, I chop up some nuts, which of course, you know, good fats, proteins, and then I do half of a date. Dates are like nature caramel, like it's just like so sticky, so sweet, and no added sugar compared to like caramel sauces. And then I just take that half a date, smash it into the chopped up nuts, and they stick because the date is so sticky. And then I eat it on an apple slice, and it's sort of my lazy version of a caramel apple. And I'll tell you what, delicious. It's so, I love it. And that's all natural fruit sugar.
You got us off the regular brownies with your brownie mix. So maybe the smash up some dates. And what's the nut that you smash up with it?
I usually use mixed nuts, and I, you know, because I like all the different versions. So it's like almonds and cashews and pistachios and walnuts all in one bag together. I chop those up. So I take a half of a date, which is very sticky, smash it in chopped nuts, and then eat that on an apple slice. It actually kind of looks like a caramel apple. Definitely tastes like one because dates. Do you like dates? Dates are like nature's caramel. They're so good.
I guess so. I think I've had some chopped in a salad before. I don't think I've ever eaten a date, so I'll put that on my list. What do you make of the freshness dates? Because those the pineapple slices I was eating were just like cut up and put in a plastic thing, like at Mariano's, where they have a 3 for $10. You know, the pineapple, the watermelon, the honeydew melon. So I was having some of that, but it was way past the freshness state. It didn't smell bad. I don't know. What are your thoughts about that, Dawn?
I mean, it's a tricky thing because you want to say use those as a guide, but then definitely use your sense of sight and smell to double check, because part of the issue is we have crazy food waste in this country, and you know it. We got to be very careful with throwing away money these days with how expensive groceries are. So if you do see something that, you know, is over its date, you know, when in doubt, throw it out is the rule. Like, come on, if you're even borderline, you gotta toss it. But if you do smell it, you look at it, you think, you know what, hey, it looks great, smells great, tastes great, you know, I'm okay with it.
Well, it wasn't dairy, it wasn't ground beef, you know, I mean, it would seem to me like fresh fruit is less susceptible to those pathogens. I'm just talking out of my hat here, Dawn. I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised because a lot of times, like when, you know, like food festivals, for example, have sort of an outbreak of food poisoning, oftentimes it is from the fresh salads
that's
and the fresh fruit. And
onions.
That's, you know, because of cross-contamination and, you know, that it's not cooked, it's not heated, and you're eating it raw. So you do have to be careful across the board. And, you know, like I said, when in doubt, throw it out. You can use that as a good guide. And especially, I would say, pregnant women, nursing women, elderly, people with immune-compromised situations, you know, really use those dates more than the rest of us.
Real quick response to this. Is pork red meat or white meat? After hearing the American Pork Producer Association commercials, they say pork is another white meat, as if maybe that makes it better. What is your thought about that, Dawn?
No, technically pork is a red meat, even though when you cook it, it looks white. Pork is a red meat. However, you can get very lean pork these days. And so it can definitely be part of a balanced diet because it's so lean. But still, if you're trying to reduce red meat, pork is in that category.
Dawn Jackson Blattner's website is donjacksonblattner.com. Am I right about that? Donjacksonblattner.com?
You are, yes. Yes, perfect.
And on Instagram, DJ Blattner. Let's visit next week. Thank you, as always, for great tips, Dawn.
Thank you, John. Have a great week.
It's 11:56. This is WGN.
Ottawa, Illinois is the middle of everywhere, surrounded by open spaces, rivers, and trails. Ottawa's a natural setting.